Welcome to On Demand. This is our AFR exclusive podcast where we do a weekly deep dive into the issues that you care about from the guests that you love to hear from. And today, I'm actually really excited about this topic because it is not every day that you see just an absolute body slam from the GOAT on the Supreme Court, of course, Justice Thomas himself, the greatest of all time, who just completely nailed to the wall a ridiculous attorney from New Jersey, for the state of New Jersey, who literally had to admit that they had no legal basis to investigate a pro-life pregnancy center. And so the issue, of course, that the justices are weighing in the case is First Choice Women's Resource Centers versus Plotkin. The justices are weighing whether a state court must enforce New Jersey's subpoena before the pregnancy center can challenge it in federal court. So it's kind of an issue of timing, but it also should really go to the merits of the investigation in the first place, because the New Jersey Attorney General, Matthew Plotkin, thus the Plotkin in the title of the case, issued a subpoena in November of 2023, directing the pregnancy center to turn over years worth of internal documents, including information associated with nearly 5,000 donors, according to the center's petition. And then this has also been reported in the Daily Caller. And the center argues that the subpoena chills their First Amendment rights and violates their right of association. New Jersey is claiming the subpoena isn't self-executing and it can't be challenged in federal court. And this is really important when it goes to donor privacy, you know, First Amendment concerns, all of that. But the bigger issue that came about this week in this oral argument was what appears to be just a total fabrication of a legal basis to basically target and harass a pro-life pregnancy center and get a lot of information by subpoena when there was literally nothing going on that should have given rise to the state inquiring to begin with. This appeared to be basically just, we want to subpoena you as the state of New Jersey and harass you and get this information just, you know, because we're the state. And so you have to listen to this interaction between Justice Thomas and New Jersey Attorney General's chief counsel. It's just awesome. So let's play this cut.
Did you have complaints that formed the basis of your concern about the fundraising activities here?
We certainly had complaints about crisis pregnancy centers. That petition.
No, about this crisis pregnancy center.
So I think we've been clear from the outset that we haven't had complaints about this specific.
So you had no basis to think that they were deceiving any of their contributors?
I don't think that's correct, Your Honor. I think we had carefully canvassed all of the public information that is provided on the website of First Choice in making a determination that we wanted to initiate an investigation.
But you had no factual basis.
I don't think that's true, Your Honor. I think, for example, you could take a look at a comparison between the donation page for First Choice that we have carved out from the very beginning.
So you had no complaints?
We had no complaints, but the state governments, federal government, initiate investigations all the time in the absence of complaints where they have a reason to suspect that there could be potential issues of legal compliance. And look, it could be the case based on our investigation, when we look at documents, when we look at information, that ultimately will determine that First Choice isn't liable for any violation
of law.
Well,
that just seemed to be a burdensome way to find out whether someone has a confusing website. But you said earlier that you did not agree with their characterization of why they were being put to this. And it would seem that the obvious way to refute that was to say we had 100 complaints. But you say you have no complaints, but rather you looked at the website and their materials and you think it could have been misleading. So why is your characterization any better than theirs?
So, Your Honor, I'd point you to the Turner Declaration, which is at pages 400 to 401 of the joint appendix, which lays out the predicate for the state's investigation of First Choice. And we had concerns in four buckets. We had concerns about potentially misleading donors. We had concerns about the unlicensed practice of medicine. We had concerns about patient privacy practices. And we had concerns about potentially misleading or untrue medical statements. So I think we had a more than ample basis to initiate this investigation.
But you had no complaints.
We had no complaints, but I think that, Your Honor, that goes at most to the merits. That doesn't go to the standing analysis.
This is absolutely crazy. So let's welcome in Father Frank Pavone, who, of course, is the founder of Priests for Life. And I'm so excited to hear your rant on this, because this is basically New Jersey just going to war against pregnancy, pro-life pregnancy centers, and literally scouring websites on their own initiative. They don't even have a complaint in, just basically going and saying, okay, well, let's initiate an investigation, subpoena them, as Justice Thomas pointed out, that is completely burdensome. And then it could be at the end of all of this, they didn't do anything wrong to begin with. And this is the definition of lawfare.
Yes, it is. And we in the pro-life movement, we who are, you know, dealing with these things full time, are not at all surprised. We look at what happened yesterday, we look at this whole case, and we say, of course. And what do I mean by that? For decades, Jenna, decades, literally, we have seen the abortion advocates in this country, the pro-abortion groups, the pro-abortion politicians, take aim at these pregnancy centers and try to shut them down, try to accuse them of practicing medicine without a license, try to trap them in things that they say and do to help pregnant moms who are scared and want some better alternative than abortion. We have tried to see them, for example, just in recent years, a case went all the way up to the Supreme Court and the pro-life side won, where the abortion advocates in several states were trying to say, oh yeah, well, you guys that you're trying to prevent abortions, but you have to tell people where they can get them. I mean, that's just like, that's like telling Alcoholics Anonymous that they have to advertise the address of the nearest liquor store. It's so absurd. And the Supreme Court, fortunately, in that case, Nifla versus Becerra, said it was absurd. But now we also have other litigation going on where these centers are telling moms who have taken abortion drugs, abortion-inducing drugs, that, hey, there's a way to still save that baby if you take the first drug and then you change your mind, as so many of these moms are ambivalent. And a number of states are suing the pregnancy centers, saying, no, that's false and misleading information. It's not. It's a medically solid protocol that has saved thousands of babies. So now we see this case, and, I mean, unlike these other cases, I mean, this is just pure power stepping in and saying, show me your donors. Now, you know, constitutionally, people don't have to disclose who they're supporting. I mean, people can support and associate freely under our Constitution with anybody else they want, publicly or privately. And what is going on here? There's no constitutional basis. Justice Thomas, of course, I'm glad you played that clip. He always does such a great job. There's no constitutional basis for their complaint. You know what? I suspect they know that. They know it, but they don't care, because they are filled with such hate for the pregnancy centers that they will just, they want to intimidate them. They're bargaining on the fact that, you know, most Americans are not going to go into this depth of analysis or realize there's no constitutional issue here. What they're going to hear is, oh, these pregnancy centers, yeah, you know what, they're terrible. You know, we heard that from other times. I'm not going to donate to them because I might get into some kind of legal trouble. That's it. You know, it's like I always quote Dan Bongino when he was doing his podcasting and before he went over to the FBI. He would say, you know what, these political battles, it's all about sound bites and snapshots. It's not about the in-depth analysis or white papers or long explanations. It's about sound bites and snapshots. That's how the culture wars, not only political campaigns, but culture wars, are won or lost. And the soundbite here is, you know, donors to the pregnancy centers are being revealed, you know, being exposed, you know, subpoena to the pregnancy centers. That's all the other side needs. They want to tar the reputation of the centers, number one, and they want to intimidate the donors and supporters, number two. The reason, final point, that they hate the centers is very simple. Every life a pregnancy center saves, and there are four times as many pregnancy centers as there are abortion clinics in America, the abortion industry loses money. A late-term abortion can cost as much as $25,000. So you have these selfless men and women. I speak to them all the time around the country. I go speak at their conferences. I visit their centers. We do trainings. And these self-giving men and women every day who are trying to save these lives. They save one life. The abortion industry loses a lot of money. And that's very much what is fueling this whole ridiculous attack that we are witnessing.
So well said. And you're absolutely right that these people who are just so hate-filled on the left against these pro-life pregnancy centers do not care that they don't have a legal basis. The whole entire intent is to put a chill on anyone engaging in donating, working at, or otherwise associated with these pregnancy centers. Otherwise, they're going to face lawfare, which is exactly what this is. They don't care if at the end of the day, there actually isn't any basis or any kind of consequence to their investigation in terms of the pregnancy center. The investigation and the consequences of defending that and even just complying with it is the punishment. That's why I said at the beginning, it's
right.
The definition
right.
of lawfare, right? Because they don't care. I mean, they'll go through all of this, force the pregnancy center to, you know, spend so much time, effort, and money on legal counsel and all this. And at the end of the day, go, oh, well, we didn't find anything. Thanks so much for your compliance. It's the process.
Yeah.
It's the punishment. And also just the acknowledgement of we are the big bad state. We can come in and demand to look at all of your, you know, private inner workings, and we can disrupt your lives at any moment possible. And they want to strike fear and terror in the hearts of anyone who would dare stand for pro-life. I mean, it's the same thing that they've done
yeah.
for a long time against Christians and conservatives and Trump supporters and all other types of arenas. And this is why the Pregnancy Center is absolutely right to go after it. And I'm glad that this says and not just stand back and defend, but actually go on the offensive with this lawsuit. I'm really
yes.
grateful this got
yes.
up to the Supreme Court. We need more of that.
We do. We do. And that's what's interesting about this case is that it is, as you know, rather technical in terms of constitutional matters that, you know, does the battle have to be played out fully on the state level before they can make a claim in federal court that their rights are being violated? I mean, I'm not an attorney, but it seems to me, you know, if your free speech or free association is being chilled, you know, you've got a constitutional claim right then and there today, and the federal courts, I mean, we're talking about the federal constitution. Of course you can go to a federal court and say I'm being harmed. And that, for that issue to be cleared up by this case, which I think, you know, especially after the oral arguments yesterday, is going to go the right way, this is going to be helpful across the board, and it's going to take away or at least weaken a lot of these lawfare efforts against these centers. They're saying, here, you have an attorney general in New Jersey who's shown his animosity towards pro-life and towards these centers. You're telling me that, you know, I've got to battle out with him for who knows how long it's going to take before I can even ask a federal court to defend my federal constitutional rights? That doesn't make any sense. But the reason why the other side wants to assert that is just exactly what you said. The process is the punishment. And so I look forward to a good outcome of this case. We have a website called SupremeCourtVictory.com, and people can find updates there, as well as a prayer campaign that we've been conducting here leading up to the oral arguments. And now, of course, we'll continue it leading up to the final decision.
Yeah, and I really hope that not only does the Supreme Court, you know, side on this issue of saying, you know, absolutely, the pro-life pregnancy center has standing, but they also absolutely can challenge this before it is enforced, so that they don't have to go through all of the hassle of compliance before they can challenge
yeah.
a subpoena. I mean, that doesn't seem like that's fair in any way to say you have to go through what is known and preventable harm before then you can challenge it. I mean, I could see if they said, well, you know, we want to challenge where a subpoena may be issued, but the subpoena here has been issued.
Uh-huh.
And so if they're challenging
has
the
been.
Enforcement
yeah.
of it, The subpoena already exists. And so I think that that's enough to at least say, yes, we can challenge it. But I hope, Frank Pavone, that this goes even further than that. And I hope that that there is some kind of investigation now of the Attorney General's office and why they're targeting pro-life pregnancy centers when they've received in their own admission zero complaints. I mean, I hope that ultimately this backfires on them completely so that they so that we can prevent the left from targeting for purposes of harassment. And that this leads to also one of the things that, you know, AFA Action on our side, on our policy side, has been very concerned with that Congress hasn't yet done, which is to repeal the FACE Act, which is targeting pro-lifers and conservatives for simply standing up for pro-life. And it's really frustrating that, you know, here we are a year into Trump's second term. There's a majority in both houses of Congress and we still don't have a repeal of the FACE Act. Why is that?
Yeah, that's right. The political will to do that is has got to be strengthened. You know, we've been talking to some folks on Capitol Hill about it. Some members are interested in doing that, you know, and there have been efforts so far to get some legislation on the debate floor. We just have to all as citizens keep pushing for that. Let's the people be the ones to set the agenda over there. And I mean, if they're not hearing from their constituents about it, this is, of course, it makes it easy for them to, you know, make an excuse for their cowardice. So, but I suspect, you know, we have to have a lot of our grassroots people understand the FACE law better. And, you know, my story that I always tell about that is when I told Mother Teresa of Calcutta about the FACE law as soon as Clinton signed it into law in 1994. I was visiting with Mother Teresa the following month, and I explained the law to her. You know what she said? She said, I myself would be thrown in jail under that law. She says, because I go to the abortion clinics and try to peacefully, you know, bring these women away from there and to where they can find better help. So it's a ridiculous kind of law that you can be, you know, peacefully sitting in front of a door of an abortion clinic to stop the killing. And it's like, okay, you know, if you want to, there are already laws in place against trespassing. There's laws in place against certainly any violence or attempted violence. Why do you need a new federal law to say, I'm going to impose, you know, drastic punishments on people who are specifically trying to save lives? So, yeah, a repeal of the FACE law would be very appropriate. I want to encourage people to learn more about it. Groups like ours, you know, are putting out, you know, have always put out information helping folks understand these laws. And it's up to us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right that it is up to us to put pressure on members of Congress. And I would encourage everyone listening to this podcast to call your representatives in Congress, call your senators, and continue to push them to have this as a priority because, you know, the window is rapidly closing. I mean, we have no idea what's going to happen after the midterms. Hopefully, there will be a conservative majority that remains. But if we only have another year until the trifecta goes away, then we have to use this for more than just defending against the ridiculous lawfare of the left. We actually have to make some advances, because if you only defend, then you'll end up at best in the same place, but likely losing some ground instead of actually going on the offensive and gaining ground. And so in just the last few minutes I have with you, Father Frank Pavone, and everyone should follow him at FR Frank Pavone and also Priest for Life across all social media platforms. What are some other opportunities that we have in this next year looking forward to 2026 to make advancements for pro-life?
Well, one of the big ones, of course, is that we want to extend what has been the second biggest victory since the Dobbs decision, and that is the defunding of the abortion industry. The big, beautiful bill did it for 1 year, and we want to extend that. We want to make that go over multiple years, and that's something we need to be talking with our legislators about, too. You know, you did the right thing. You know, let's acknowledge the victory that was won. You did the right thing in turning off this spigot of there are many different spigots and streams of funding that flow into the abortion industry, and some are controlled by Congress and some are controlled directly under the executive branch. And of course, the administration has been turning off those levers of funding where they have authority to do so. But the Congress did a great thing with the defunding of the abortion industry. Now we need to pressure them to continue that, and we don't want that funding turned back on next year. So that's a big talking point. That's a big aspect of what has to be done. A second thing, too, is that, of course, you mentioned about the midterms. I mean, the pro-life community needs to be vigorous starting today, if you haven't started already, mobilizing voters, doing the classic traditional things that we know are necessary, registering voters, educating voters, getting, you know, have in mind that, you know, the midterms are now. We have got to win. We have got to preserve and increase the majority that we have right now. And you know, it's not that Republicans are perfect, or that this Congress or this administration or these leaders are perfect. Nobody should ever assert that. It's always a matter of it's better than the alternative, way better. And it's at least some, these are at least people we can work with and make the case and appropriately pressure. Let's get electorally active. Another thing to keep in mind, too, going back to this crazy case, First Choice versus Platkin. You know, it's a classic case of projection, as well as everything else we've discussed, the lawfare, the hatred. It's projection because look at and investigate the abortion clinics. You want to see where deception is happening. You want to see practicing medicine without a license. We have uncovered and investigated, and many other groups have done this as well. Well, I should say a few other groups have done this as well over the decades. And I can tell you stories, high school students administering anesthesia in these abortion clinics. One woman who ran six abortion clinics, legal clinics, that I helped to transition out of the abortion industry, saying, you know, oh, I introduced myself to my clients as Dr. Davis. She said, I never spent one day in medical school. This is what's going on in the abortion industry. Kermit Gosnell is sitting in jail right now in Pennsylvania because first of all, he killed some women that came there, but expired medications, no emergency equipment, machinery that wasn't working. This is rampant in the abortion industry. When are we going to shine the light on that and start bringing, this Attorney General of New Jersey issues a consumer alert? Where are the consumer alerts about the abortion clinics? So I think appropriate education of ourselves and each other on that set of facts, and then speaking with our state lawmakers is a great opportunity in this coming year. They want to try to shine false light on the abortion, on the pregnancy centers. We're going to shine a real light on the abortion clinics, and that would be also, together with everything we've said, a very appropriate response and task for the coming year.
What a great plan to move forward. So I will continue to act on these initiatives, pray for the coming year. And, you know, we've got to keep standing up for pro-life at every turn. So Father Frank Pavone, really appreciate it. And all of those updates, again, follow him at FR Frank Pavone on all of social media, and also follow Priests for Life. And you can get those updates from Priests for Life as well as AFA Action. And as always, if you have a topic or a guest that you would like us to focus on here on Demand in our weekly deep dives, you can contact me and my team, Jenna, at afr.net, and I will see you next week.